Today, we're joined by frequent guest speaker Charles Price, who begins a special Christmas-themed message called Following the Star. He'll get started in just a moment. But first, before we get started today, we want to tell you about an exciting opportunity this month. Generous friends have offered to double your gift up to $120,000 to ensure Telling the Truth finishes the year strong. We'll say thanks for your year-end gift with a copy of The Best of 2023, the most loved teachings from the Briscoes this year. So call today to have your year-end gift matched and request your copy of The Best of 2023. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Charles Price with today's message.
I'm going to look with you for a few minutes at the story about these men from the east who followed the star to Bethlehem in search of a newborn king that turned out to be Jesus Christ. I got home from almost 2 weeks in the country of India. India is a fast-changing country with very long and deep roots that go back many centuries and thousands of years. And I spent the day in Madurai, which is in the state of Tamil Nadu, right in the south of India. Madurai is known as the city of temples. And there are a multiplicity of ancient temples all over the city, built to a variety of gods and goddesses. Somebody told me that one day he saw a man in Madurai who had an idol, and the idol was on the ground, and attached to it were ropes, and attached to these ropes were hooks, and the hooks were embedded in the flesh of this man, in his back and his shoulders. And as he pulled this idol, the flesh was stretched and pulled out as the man, in excruciating pain, pulled his idol to the temple of his God. What makes a man do something like that? Is he trying to do penance of some kind to counter some sin in his life? Is he trying to improve his karma that he'll come back in the next life in a better position than the life he is experiencing now? Is he trying to subjugate natural desires and natural comfort by this extreme form of discipline and self-inflicted pain? Is he trying to prove something to his God? The irony of that, of course, is that he may have made the God himself, fashioned it out of wood and stone with his own hands. Deep inside every human heart, there is a need for something bigger than ourselves, in which we can find refuge and meaning and purpose. I can't speak for that man with the hooks in his flesh, pulling the heavy God up the road. But I know he's looking for something. You see, in the imminence of our lives, which are so localized, so short, so brief, we need to find something that is transcendent, bigger, more permanent, to which we can relate. We are searching for meaning. We are searching for something that makes life make sense, no matter what the circumstance of life might be, for meaning, for purpose. And that search can express itself in all kinds of ways. We search after love. We search for relationships. We search to find our fulfillment in family life sometimes. We search in careers. We search in ambitions. We search in prosperity. We can search in travel. We can search in religion. We can search in sex experience. We can search in drugs that take us out of the real world and give us a fantasy illusion that we enjoy for the while that we experience it. These men in this story were on a search. It's a very familiar story. Crops up in our carols and our nativity scenes. And every Christmas, we probably at some point hear something about these men who came from the East. There's a few myths that have grown up around this story. I'll mention one or two of them. One is that there were three of them. We don't know how many there were. It doesn't say. It does say they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And probably that's where the idea of three came from. But they could have been 30. We don't know how many they were. Another myth is that they were kings. Now, it never says that in the scripture. We have songs like "We Three Kings of Orient Are." When I was a kid, we had our own versions of that. "We three kings of Orient are, one in a bus and one in a car, one on a bicycle sucking an icicle following yonder star." That's the clean version. We had some other versions too. But there's nothing to indicate they were kings. Another myth is that the star was a bit like a UFO, sort of suspended, and they were on their camels and following this sort of moving star. But actually, they said, "We have seen his star in the east," past tense, "in the east." They've come from the east, so they were traveling in a westwardly direction to get to Israel. If they were following a UFO-type star, they would have said, "We have seen his star in the west and have been following it." But no, we saw it back in the east. And I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. The other myth is that they were wise men. That is, they were very clever men. They're called wise men in some translations. But the New International Version we read from today correctly calls them magi, M-A-G-I. Now, magi is a Persian word, and it's difficult to translate accurately into English. But if you add the letter C on the end of magi, you get the word magic. And that's a clue, because these were men schooled in the magical arts. Almost certainly they were astrologers. Now, astrology was widely practiced in the ancient world, though it still is widely practiced in the Western world today. Astrology is a study of the movement of the stars and the planets and the influence that they have on human affairs, particularly the position of the stars at the time that you were born in relation to the earth. And so many folks will know the astrological sign under which they were born. And that sort of determines certain things about you and certain things about your circumstances. And 80% apparently of North American newspapers carry every day an astrological chart. And some people look at them. They check it to see what's going to happen to me today on the basis of these charts. In fact, here in North America, astrology is a $200 billion business every year. There are magazines devoted to astrology. So this is not some ancient thing that we dust off from a museum. This is a very present thing in our society as well.
Charles Price will be back in a moment with more of his message here on Telling the Truth. Before we get back to him, here's a note we received from a listener named Pat in Tennessee. "Thank you for your faithfulness unto the Lord Jesus. He speaks to me often through your words as you tell his truth." Thank you, Pat. That's the kind of encouragement your support today will help bring to more people around the world in the new year as you help share the teaching and resources of Telling the Truth, so others can experience life in Christ. And we'd like to encourage you with a powerful resource called The Best of 2023. It's a collection of the most loved teachings from Stuart and Jill Briscoe this year. We'll send you the Best of 2023 series as thanks for your year-end support today to help send the timeless teaching of truth to more people around the world, trusting God to change lives. Your support makes it possible for people to encounter Christ and experience new life in Him. So please, give generously. And thanks to a $120,000 matching grant, your gift will be doubled this month. So request your copy of the Best of 2023 when you call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Charles Price.
And these men were probably astrologers. They came from the East, either from Persia or from Babylon. We know Persia today as the nation of Iran. We know Babylon as the nation of Iraq. And they had, back home in the East, read in the stars about the birth of a king. Now, there have been various attempts to identify the Star of Bethlehem, the lineup of planets at the time, and how that might have given to them this understanding that a king was to be born. I'll give you several of the more popular ones, so nobody can be sure about any of them. In 7 BC, and by the way, when the calendar was set, there was a miscalculation. Herod died in 4 BC, and Jesus was born before Herod died. So Jesus was born maybe 4, 5, 6, even 7 BC. There's some uncertainties about that. But in 7 BC, there was a triple conjunction of the planets Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars. And in those days, Jupiter was understood to be the star of kings, and Saturn was associated with the Jews. So putting this combination together, the idea was that this to be interpreted as being a king of the Jews was being born. Another suggestion is the men saw an exploding nova or supernova where a distant star increases in light by millions, perhaps even billions of times its natural light, and stays that way for several weeks. And in the ancient culture, seeing this unusual light, they attach some kind of significance and interpretation to it. That is a possibility. Some have suggested that Halley's Comet, being visible by 11 BC, and Halley's Comet, as you may know, comes into visible range of the Earth every 76 or 75 and 9 months or something years. It was last here in 1986. It was not visible from the Northern Hemisphere on that occasion. And I remember being in New Zealand at the time when it was most visible and being out in the southern island of New Zealand on a totally cloudless night and seeing Halley's Comet, which over the period of weeks would move across the sky with its tail. And some have suggested maybe that moving across the Middle East was indicating direction that they had interpreted as being they should move from the east to the west to find some significant event that was taking place, and had narrowed it down to the birth of a king. William Barclay, who is a New Testament commentator, writes in the years 5 to 2 BC, there was an unusual astronomical phenomenon. A brilliant star called Mesorai rose at sunrise and shone with extraordinary brilliance. Mesorai means the birth of a prince. And to these ancient astrologers, such a star would undoubtedly mean the birth of a great king. We cannot tell for sure what star the Magi saw, but we know that what they did see shone with some brilliance that spoke to them about the birth of a new king. And this was something in which they began to place their hope. They weren't only curious, they followed the implication of it. We don't know how long the journey was. If they came from Persia, They would have had to travel a lot of rugged terrain. They'd have to climb mountains. They had to cross the Euphrates River. There were no bridges in those days. They would travel through the desert, but all the time following a star that offered them hope. And all of us are looking for hope. Some of us are following all kinds of stars that we think will bring us hope. And again, we become disillusioned by them. They seem to offer something. We follow them. But when we get there, we find that they are empty. Remember some years ago reading something by Bill Wyman, who was the bass guitarist with the Rolling Stones. He left them about 10 years ago now because he was too old and the others are still too old and they keep playing anyway. But Bill Wyman wrote this. He said, "The journey to the top was exciting. But when we got there, there was nothing there. It was empty. You may not be a Rolling Stone, but you might have followed something that seemed to offer you hope and offered you meaning. But when you got there, it was empty." Where did the searching and seeking of these men take them? Well, it brought them first to the city of Jerusalem. The star, as they understood it, was that of the King of the Jews. When they got to Judah, they asked the question, well, who's the King of the Jews now? The answer is King Herod. So they went and knocked on his door, which was not a very smart thing to do, and said, "Where is the new king to be born?" They weren't being very wise men at that point, because quite predictably, it says in verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Well, here he is in his palace as King of the Jews, and some strangers knock on the door. Where's the new King of the Jews being born? Well, he was disturbed. But not only was he disturbed, he was also intrigued. And it says in the next verse, verse 4, that when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, that is the people who dealt with the scriptures and were the lawyers of that day, he asked them where the Christ, that means the Messiah, the anointed one that every Jew was expecting, where he would be born. And they answered, "In Bethlehem in Judea. But this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Now here's an interesting thing. When Herod asked the scribes and the teachers of the law where this Messiah was to be born, they knew the answer right away, and they quoted to him right away. They knew chapter and verse. They quote from the book of Micah in the Old Testament, and they quote something that was written about 750 years earlier. What these men discovered was this. They're not stepping into some fad, something thought of yesterday and brought about today. They were stepping into something which had deep roots that had been written about for centuries. You see, Jesus didn't just come out of nowhere. It wasn't just the world was going along nicely and trying to make the best of whatever it was, and suddenly on the scene came somebody. He was born, he lived, became a carpenter, became a teacher, became a preacher, performed miracles, was eventually crucified, was buried, was raised again from the dead, and a great story came out of that. No, that's not where it begins. They discovered they were stepping into something which has very deep roots and goes back into history. I haven't counted this, but I'm told there are 333 prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament scriptures, which had been completed 400 years before Christ was born and were in circulation for several hundred years. You go to any synagogue in any community in Israel, and you could read any of the Old Testament scriptures. They were there on scrolls, brought out to be read when they met on Saturdays in the synagogue. And in those scrolls, in those scriptures, which we now have, and we call it our Old Testament, There are 333 prophecies, and the chances of them all becoming true are one in trillions and trillions. Somebody gave me the figure once, and it's got names I don't even know what they mean, like Zilliquad Williams or something. So extreme as to be statistically virtually impossible that they'd all come right. But they did.
This is Telling the Truth, and today our guest speaker, Charles Price, is sharing his message, Following the Star. He'll be back with some final thoughts in a moment. When you give a gift this month to support the teaching ministry of Telling the Truth, your gift will be worth twice as much, thanks to a generous $120,000 matching grant. As we approach the end of another year of ministry, your support is vital to ensure more people around the world can hear God's word taught plainly and clearly so they can experience life in Christ. Your gift will help send the timeless teaching of truth around the world, trusting God to change lives in 2024 and beyond. As thanks for your support, doubled by the match, we'll send you a copy of The Best of 2023, which features the Briscoes' most loved teachings from this past year. It's sure to keep you encouraged and challenged to live for Jesus all next year. So be sure to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you call today and give a gift to help keep telling the truth going around the world. And again, remember, whatever you give today is worth double with the match. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, once more for today, here's Charles Price.
Can you imagine what would have happened if the wise men had arrived in Bethlehem and discovered that the baby was a girl? Well, there's a 50-50 chance it would be a boy or a girl. But what about the fact he was in Bethlehem at all? It is a fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, humanly speaking, by a sheer fluke, because his mother Mary and Joseph, to whom she was committed to be married, lived in Nazareth, about 100 miles north of Bethlehem. Long way in those days. And it just so happened that Caesar Augustus, away in Rome, decided he wanted to do a census of the whole of the Roman Empire, found out how many people lived there, and he ordered that everybody should go to the hometown of the husband and father of each family, and there they should be counted. And Joseph, though he lived in Nazareth, his family came from Bethlehem. And so they went down to Bethlehem for the date of the census, and it just so happened that when they arrived there a little bit late, so much so there were no beds available, and they had to be put up in the stable beside an inn, that was the very night that the baby was born. Had he been born a few days earlier, he would have been born in Samaria. Had he been born 6 weeks later, no doubt they'd be back in Nazareth, because they only came here for the census. That doesn't take long, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay. Now, before you go home, go and visit Granny and a few relatives, and then go home again. They had work back in Nazareth to get on with. But 750 years before, 750, that's a long time, they'd written, but you, Bethlehem, in Judea, in the land of Judah, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people. And when Herod calls in his scribes and his lawyers, he says, where's this Messiah going to be born? They know exactly the answer. Down in Bethlehem, here it is. Micah, 750 years before is written. Well, 50-50, it's a boy or a girl. Okay, it's a boy. Born in Bethlehem? Well, let's say the very outside, there's a 25% chance of that, maybe. But not only that, Herod had said to these men, when you find the baby, come back to Jerusalem on your way home and tell me where he is, then I too will go and worship him. Well, that wasn't his intent. His intent was he'd go and slaughter him. And the wise men were warned in a dream, don't you go back to Jerusalem because Herod will kill him. So they went home another way, and Herod ordered the destruction, the massacre of all the baby boys in Bethlehem. And Joseph got wind of this and took Mary and the baby Jesus and headed down in the opposite direction, down to Egypt. So in verse 14, he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Then this is this. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said to the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, this is Matthew. Do you know something? A prophet already said that the son would come out of Egypt, and that was written by Hosea 800 years before.
Thank you, Charles. We hope today's message encouraged you. Before we go, remember that when you give today to help keep Telling the Truth broadcasts like this one going out around the world, your gift will be doubled by the $120,000 match. So call now to give and remember to request your copy of The Best of 2023 with our thanks. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for being with us today on Telling the Truth. Come back next time and be encouraged through biblical teaching that helps you experience life. See you soon.